Blog Talk Radio. Hello and welcome to Inner Wisdom. I'm your host, Mary Phelan, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. Tonight, I would like to talk a little bit about past lives, and then I will open up the phone lines for people to call in for readings, either a tarot reading or even a past life reading. A lot of people ask whether, or a lot of people may question whether past lives exist, and I think there are a lot of theories running around out there. Some people say that they might be cellular memory. Other people say it's just consciousness swimming around and maybe picking up on other people's lives. But whatever it is, if you remember or have a memory of a past life, it has something to do with you, and so it's well worth exploring. Now, my personal view is that we do have past lives, and that belief is shared by actually most of the population on the planet. And how I came to understand or to know about past lives is that I remembered them since I was a child. As a matter of fact, one of my more vivid memories of being about 3.5 years old or 4, maybe at the oldest, I was sitting in a sandbox with another kid, and I can place the time because I had only been in this place one time, so I know it was when I was really young, and I became conscious of forgetting why I came down here, and in that flash, I knew why I had, or I knew that I had chosen being the fifth child and being born in this area and all that, and I could feel the memory slipping away. I feel that we all have an experience like that. Maybe where I differ is that I remember having that experience of things slipping away. And on top of that, I've had memories of my past lives ever since I can remember. And they just are memories, just as if I had had a memory of going somewhere on Christmas Eve for a celebration. They are just as real and valid as any other memory that I have had in my life. And I remember being about 7 or 8 years old, maybe even a little younger, maybe 6 or 7, and I was riding in the car with my family, and we drove by this old farmhouse, and I pointed it out to my mother, and I said, "Do you remember when I used to live there?" And I knew that house. I knew it inside and out. I'd had dreams of that house. I knew every floor. There were 3 floors, and I could describe anything that had happened in that house. And I remember my mother turning around and looking at me and saying, "We never lived there." And that's when I realized that my memories were not necessarily memories shared by others around me. And I became a little concerned for a while as I started realizing I couldn't share everything with other people. But I have at least 8 different lifetimes that I've had since I was a little child. And I found them very, very enlightening, and they gave me a lot of details and information about what I came here to explore. And as I grew older, I became extremely fascinated with anything to do with reincarnation. I watched the movie Reincarnation of Peter Proud, which I believe came out in the 70s, and I was so excited to find that movie because it finally explained what it was that I was experiencing. And since then, I have gone on more in my life, further in my life, to get to the point where I can see past lives of other people as well. And past life research and past life exploration can do so much for you. My partner Neville does past life regressions, and I do past life readings, and they both have a place. To do a regression is where you go into a deep state of meditation or hypnosis, and you go on a journey and you experience elements of that life, whereas a past life reading is where someone else is experiencing it and sharing data with you. And they're both good. Going into it yourself, you may not get as many elements right off the bat as you can with having a reading where someone's putting the whole story together for you, but you get the experience of exploring it yourself. And either way, you can continue to explore these lives. For instance, if you look at life as, or time rather, as being simultaneous, which is the way I see it, and each of these lifetimes are like envelopes sitting on top of each other, and each lifetime as we perceive it is in a different envelope, but they're all sitting in the same location, then you can travel with your consciousness, because our consciousness is not a fixed thing, into these other lives and actually continue to gain insight and wisdom and share insight and wisdom with them. And it becomes an open dialogue with these other yous. And you can download information from those other lives to make use of in this life. And I really do feel that when people come here, like Mozart, with these great talents and skills, that they come in here because they bring all that with them when they come from a past life. It can have profound changes in your life to know about past lives. And I will share some stories in a little while about that and invite people to call in and share some stories of your own or call in for a reading. So I'm going to go ahead and take a call now, and those of you that are on hold, please continue to hold, because I would love to talk with you, and we will pick up our first call. Hi, you're on the air, and thanks for holding. What can I do for you tonight? Hello? Hello? Okay, let's go on to the next one.
They said congratulations.
Hello? Hi, you're on the air. What can I do for you tonight?
Boy, they type fast.
What was that? Okay, then I am going to put that call back on hold because they may not be able to hear me. And Kevin's asking a question in the chat. Why do we bring memories of past lives with us into this life, but not the wisdom? And I think that is such a brilliant question. Because really, our experiences are designed to bring us wisdom. And we're not supposed to hold on to the experience, but we are to hold on to the wisdom. And I think that those times that we bring in the experience or the memories of it, but not the wisdom, is because we haven't really ascertained the wisdom, or we haven't extracted it yet. And so we will continue to ponder it or have an experience with it, maybe from a fresh point of view or a fresh mind. And a lot of times it appears that our past lives are influencing us in such a way that we may be held back or blocked from it. But really, we don't have to have our past lives for us to get a lesson or to gain some wisdom from something. We can get everything we have to have from this lifetime, but there are times when things are not complete that we do bring them over, and remembering the past life can help us to disengage from it emotionally and psychologically, because we know it didn't happen to us in this particular life. And so it's like a reset of sorts. And to know about it, you can really then work to change things, and help that life can help you move forward in this life. One thing that I would like to say about that might make it a little easier to understand is if you think of each lifetime as a word. Let's say one lifetime is the word cat, and then another lifetime is the word ran, and another life was up, and then the tree. When you put all this together, you start getting a bigger picture, because it is very fractaled. Our reality is just one part of our larger reality, which is part of a larger reality even still. And so the more pieces we put together, the bigger picture that we have is. So, okay. I am now, okay, I will do this. Thanks, Kevin. I'm bringing another caller on the line, and this one is just appearing as all one, so we'll see what happens here. And hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Mary, how you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. My name is Helen.
Hi, Helen. That was my mother's name, and it's a very lovely name. What can I do for you tonight?
Well, I was wondering what you see around career.
Okay, let me pull some cards for you, Helen, and see what we get. All right. Well, it is interesting because I see that you are either thinking of or could possibly be leaving a particular career or job and really doing something new. And what it feels like is that maybe you had been in the past settling for something, but that wasn't really what you wanted to do, which is the case with a lot of us, because so often we choose our careers when we're 18 or 19 years old, when we're forced to with picking majors in college, or that's when we usually get our first job and often just stay in that line of work. And then when we're in our 30s and 40s, we're completely different people now. And it's like whatever you had been doing, there's something within you, something really powerful, and I see it having to do with how do I put this into words? I'm not going to say like the movies or something like that, but it has to do with spreading the word about something. It could be any kind of a media, but it's not so much about the media. It's about what you're doing that can reach larger groups of people, something that you're passionate about that really gets this funding emotionally through you. Is there something like that that you've been thinking about doing, branching off on your own or anything?
No, but I am interviewing for a new job.
Okay. Well, this looks like it's the beginning of something really wonderful, and sometimes we don't even really know that we've been dreaming of it until it gets in our hands.
Right, right. No, I mean, I'm looking for a new job, but it's not in media per se, but it would be in a new venture. When I say it's a new venture, it's a startup company.
Yeah, well, this is talking about something new, like a new company or starting your own company for sure. And it looks like it's going to be very successful and lead you to something that you would really love to do.
Do you see it shortly, or?
Well, I'm thinking that this is probably looking toward between now and summertime, something really starting to crystallize by summertime. And it may come in stages for you. But just know that you have it already right there in your hands. It's not like you have to go out and pull more and more things into it. Sometimes keeping it straightforward, simple, and going right to the point is the best way to do it.
Okay.
Are you involved with other people in this, or are you planning on doing this by yourself?
No, there's other people.
Okay. This is where I would say, and I'll let you apply it to your situation, but sometimes less is better. Like I know there's probably a certain amount of people now, but if it starts looking like more are coming in, I would keep it simpler rather than and then letting it get too complex right off the bat.
Well, this is in an established company. They've already, you know, have their infrastructure in place.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying if there's something that comes in later on that looks like it's making it more complex, I would just keep it simple. Whatever that may look like, just hold that in the back of your mind.
Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Sure, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we will take another call here, and this is area code 510. press the button here. Let's see. Sometimes it takes a little minute to actually pick up. So, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. This is Camille.
Hi, Camille. What can I do for you tonight?
All right. So, like your partner you mentioned, I am also trained in past life regression, although I do not practice that at the moment. But I'm very interested in anything you might pick up about any past life of mine.
Okay, let's see what we get. Now, sometimes that takes me a minute to have some things come through, so thank you for bearing with me. One of the first things that came to me when you first started talking, and what's interesting is there's like when I'm with a person and I'm doing a past life reading, there's something about looking into one of their eyes, and I think it's usually their right eye, and then this story unfolds. If I'm on the phone, it comes in another way, but usually after I'm talking with them for a few seconds, and with you immediately, this image started coming through, and I felt like I was in the West, like maybe during the Gold Rush times, although I can't say for sure if that was the era, but it just has that feel to me. And there's a small town, as people expanded westward, they would stop and make a little watering hole, so to speak, after a day's walk, which usually is why towns are about 20 miles apart, is about 20 miles that people could go on horseback and all that wagon before they had to stop for the day. And it was in one of these towns that it started, like, becoming a community. And I'm not sure if I'm seeing Kansas or something like that, but that you had gone over there as a doctor, and as a male, a doctor, they had called somebody in to serve that purpose because the town was getting big enough. And I believe you had just started your practice, or there was some connection, maybe a relative, an uncle, or somebody like that had owned some property there, and you went forward take advantage of that, or maybe you were indebted to somebody and that's why you went out there. I'm not really sure. But after you got out there, you liked to write a lot, and I'm not sure if you like to write in this lifetime, but from what I'm feeling with that, it would be something good that you could carry over, that would be carry over, a good thing to carry over, that is, into this life. So you may have some experience with that. But you wrote journals and wrote about your experience there. And at first it was an extremely lonely thing, and the ground was muddy. Nothing was paved. It was a new town, so to speak. And that was something that was quite uncomfortable for you, and you wrote a lot of letters back home. As a matter of fact, I've had hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands over the years that have been able to go find themselves from our past life readings to go back and look that up. And I think maybe there would be a way to find out this person, like there's still records of them. But the more I'm with this energy, I'm wondering if it's a doctor or a dentist, and it could be that he served both purposes. Eventually got married, and I don't believe there were any children from that life. It was almost as if he wanted to really explore. I feel like he studied something or researched something, and that became his life. And there may have been some regrets toward the end of the life that there wasn't a family or whatever, but I think most of that was very scholastic, let's say. He loved to study and write. Do you do any writing in this life?
My major, I declared an English creative writing major, and that's what I hold my Bachelor's of Arts in.
Ah, well, that makes a lot of sense then.
And I have almost every journal that I have kept handwritten from childhood, except for maybe one was lost.
Mm.
And I have an inordinate amount of stationary in my secretary, just an almost an obscene amount of stationery.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, yeah. I would really suggest, like, connecting with this life. There is a name, like, one of the names I'm getting, and I'm not sure if it's the first or the last, but Frederick is a name of this person. And I know it's, like, really a shot in the dark or whatever, but you could maybe just see if you could do some research. Maybe if you just try Kansas, like type that in, and maybe 1816 or whatever, no, 18 something. I know that's probably a long shot, but you never know. Sometimes it does work.
Yeah.
But either way, I think connecting with the historical person is not nearly as significant as connecting with the person who's still living in that envelope that's around you. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, and another thing that people can do that I think is very interesting is as you go to sleep at night, just ask to connect with that and have dreams, because that part of you is certainly playing out in your life and maybe encouraging you to get some of that out there, maybe put some of your writings in more cohesive of a form.
Interesting, yes. And okay, I can do that. And you said doctor, maybe. I know my astrology. I have Mars and Virgo in my eighth house. And I'm very, very much interested in the body and diet and nutrition, holistic health, and the mind-body-spirit connection.
Wow.
So,
you know, if
yeah.
we put all those pieces of the puzzle together with what that life was saying, remember you did so much research in that life, and it's right there for you. You've already been in it. I mean, it's you're already connected to it. So I would say, number one, trust your instincts with that. And that's how channeling works. As we move, we become mobile, our point of perception, and move into these other envelopes and actually share these other experiences. So I think each of you could contribute to the other.
Okay.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you sharing your story, too. Thanks.
Thanks. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now, here, I'm going to pick up another call, and the area code is 505. Hi, you're on the air. Area code 505.
Good evening. Thank
Hi.
You for accepting my call.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you. My name is Patricia, and I would like to, something is really pressing my mind about an individual that I met quite a while back, a few years ago. His name is Steve, and I wanted to know what kind of a past life or if there's going to be a future life. I keep dreaming about this individual. We don't have any connection at all. There's no communication, even though I'd like to. But I wanted to find out what you can pick up about that and why is this recurring.
Okay. That's a
very
good question, and I think a lot of people have experiences where they meet up with someone that is very significant to them, but they may only touch upon their life for a short time, leaving a big impact, and then they're left wondering why. And that's why it is so important to look at us as a multi-life species rather than just a single life, because there are things that we come to do. And I'll just say this real quickly, hopefully I can explain it well. When we sort life through time, then it would be, okay, I'm here, then I went to the grocery store, then I saw you, and then I did this, and then I saw you again, and it looks like you, the two times I saw you, they were separated by time. We could just as easily sort this reality or realities through every time I saw you. Just like in a database when you can sort by address or by name, you can sort it by every time I saw you. So every time you saw Steve, there is a continuum, a line of you having constant, not constant, but one right after another interaction. But when you sort it through time, the way we perceive time, then it looks like there are these big gaps between when you two were together. So that's how it can happen multi-lifetime when we have those bigger relationships that evolve that way. Now, with that being said, I'm going to step in and see. I feel like there were more than one, so I'm going to ask for what is one that would be most helpful in you understanding what is going on. It's starting to crystallize, and not the setting doesn't always come through first. Sometimes other things, so I'm going to say it the way it's coming, but I see the two of you married at one point, and that he died, and it was a very painful thing. And if I back up a little bit, I feel like I'm on some homestead or a farm, maybe in New England, Connecticut, somewhere around there. And I'm not sure if you're the husband or the wife yet. Sometimes that takes a little minute to crystallize. But there were 10 kids that you had together. And one of you died. And I mean, he died, but I'm not sure if he was the husband. Yeah, he was the husband in that life, I'm pretty sure. And you were left with those 10 children. And I think that one of the things why you're not together right now is there is some kind of I just got to put this into words. I'm not going to say it's a fear, but he felt like he hurt you by getting close and then leaving, dying young. And that has some bearing on why things aren't coming together in this life. Is there somebody else that he's committed to, possibly?
I don't know too much about him. There could be another.
I just feel in his
friendship.
Life now that he takes these commitments very seriously. It's like he and sometimes it's not always to his advantage. Like just picture if you were there and you had a wife and 10 kids and then you died early and you felt like, oh my God, I wasn't there to take care of them. Sometimes at that moment of passing, when we have a strong feeling, we don't resolve it. It's like when we go away on vacation and we think, oh, did I leave the iron on? And then our mind is pulling that whole iron event into our present time, into our vacation. And that's how it is with a past life. And so I feel like he's got some kind of sense of duty that he has in this life. But there was a very strong connection with the two of you. Now, you had also asked if you would be seeing him again in this life. What was
yeah.
that secondary question?
Yes, if we would ever connect. I had left my personal information at a particular place for him to contact me, and there was never any contact because I wanted to find out more about him because he did have a big impact on my life. And the way he comes into my dreams, they're really not like dreams. It's like we're living a life together in this dream. They're so real.
And well, I got to say that when we have past life memories, they come forward in our dreams, and sometimes they are like that. And one way for people to tell when you have a past life dream is usually there are people in it that you don't necessarily know. And I'm not saying every character, but when a significant amount of the people are not like a symbolic image of somebody that you know in this life, but yet you know them very clearly and know them very well, but you can't tie them into anybody in the waking reality, and that there are fixed locations that you go and visit over and over, and it's the same house with the same things in it. So it could very well be that you are sharing a life, a future life even, right now, in the dream time, or that you're experiencing it, having that bleed over. And a lot of times people think, well, it happened in 1942, it can't be a future life. But in reality, our consciousness goes to whatever era that it best suit its needs at the time. So it could be that I incarnate in the 1400s next time because there's something there that would be good for me to know. So looking at this, I feel like from your end of it, you it's not always the person that you're trying to get to. Sometimes that person is what your higher self and your guides use to draw you into other aspects of yourself. And so I think he's serving you in that way. He's becoming an icon in your dreams to help, like a spirit guide, so to speak, to help you to move forward. But when I asked the question, are you going to be connecting with him, and I wasn't specific about in physical reality or in spiritual, it did say that what you wish for will be fulfilled. And remember, we have to also have some proactivity at times too. So you may want to put your contact information out again.
Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
Sometimes people just don't get it, or it just wasn't the right time for it.
Yeah, I just kind of feel like I was rejected, and I was afraid to go back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
After two times.
you know what? And so what if you were rejected again? I think maybe this is about that too, about you being comfortable enough to ask for what you want and be bold about it. There was a song by Billy Joel, and I know I'm misquoting it because I've been told I did before, but it has this meaning. The line says, I will say everything and walk away a fool or a king. Because indeed, if you are the king that says nothing is the fool, and the fool who lays his heart out is really the king. And, you know, when you feel ready, if you ever feel ready, maybe just reach out one more time and tell yourself if there's no connection, then that's the message right there. And
yeah, okay.
You'll shoot for the next lifetime.
So you feel that, I mean, there was his past life, and he feels it too. I mean, because I felt like there was a strong connection between the both of us.
Feelings in that way. People are becoming more and more aware of their past lives, so definitely trust your feelings.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's good to know.
Well, thank you. And it was lovely to talk with you.
It was lovely to talk with you. Thank you for the service that you're doing tonight. It's just really helpful.
Aww, thank you.
To all of us. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Night. And that's another thing, too. When we start looking at that lives go beyond this space and time and move forward, then if it doesn't work out in this lifetime, it's really not the end of the world, because we know we live forever. And so that's really helpful. Now, Kevin was asking, do people who love and hoard animals have a past life as that type of animal? Now, I think that's really interesting. Some people believe that we evolve through the species and work our way up to humanity or human beings. I personally think that wherever whatever the best thing for you to learn, whether that's being a dog or a human or a whale, that's what you're going to go into in the next lifetime. But you can bet that if people pick a hoarding of animals, that they've had experiences in this lifetime as well as in other lifetimes, and that animal represents something to them. And often, in a lot of our history, animals meant wealth, it meant security, it meant being fed, it meant so many different things. So by hoarding the animal, they could definitely be tapping into a past life there, and maybe even as that animal. I think that's very interesting. I'll have to give that one some thought. Okay, I'll go ahead and take another call, and this is area code 412. And thank you so much for holding, and you're on the air.
Hi, this is Veronica, and I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Veronica. Thanks so much for calling. What can I do for you?
I was looking to get a past life reading.
Okay. Let me just see what comes up for you here. I'm kind of being pulled in a lot of directions, but I started hearing like music from Japan. And let me just let this unfold. there's something that there was a lifetime that you lived in Japan, and I'm almost seeing like a rice paddy or something where you're bending over and working really hard, and it's like you're one of your guides, maybe a guide that is like really connected to your higher self, that has like overview of your lives, and this guide steps in and is saying that this particular life that I'm referring to was a very spiritual life of yours. Even though you weren't a monk or a priest, you chose to have a life where there is, like it was all just about working, and there wasn't any other thing in your mind. It was just about what you did while your hands made these movements of picking the rice or whatever that was. Your consciousness was then free to live in the moment. What happens to our consciousness when we have a lot of interaction with other people is we really are living in the past when that happens, because it takes the brain a certain amount of time to process conversation and process experiences. So really the experience that we are perceiving has happened seconds prior to that. And I feel like you came into that life to really live in the now, and it was so important to you, and that life was actually a result of another life. And there was something to do with your mother in that life prior, like you losing your mother, or there was some really whole story connected to that, but I feel like I'm supposed to be telling you this one, that you came without a lot of ties to other people, because losing your mother in that prior life, there was just such a close relationship with the two of you that you wanted to get into a life where you didn't have a lot of human interaction. Number one, I think you did it in a way to protect yourself emotionally, but number two, it was to just see yourself as being completely free. And so if we were to look back at this life of this person, it seems that it was very almost like slave-driven, working hard every day. We would all say, I don't want to have a life like that. I want to live in a condo in New York City or whatever. But if we look at the simplicity of life that he had and the freedom, the true freedom that was garnered there, I think it was really one of your most spiritual lifetimes. You had such a connection. And you probably have a great ability to channel in this lifetime as a result of that lifetime lived there. If you think about it, I remember one time, for a long time, I wanted a piece of property so that people could come and experience a spiritual place without any pressure, you know, camping out or doing whatever. And then I realized that getting the money and having the land and then having to guard the land and having to do all this, that if I owned no land, then I owned all land because everything had the same association. So that's the life that you had. It was just so, so wonderful. Do you like being alone in this life?
Actually, I do. I do like being alone. I found myself, especially within the past year, I've had to be alone for a particular reason, and I just really enjoyed it, and I just enjoy being in my own space and doing all different kind of things in my own home, and even going out by myself. I like to go out to eat by myself and to the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you see, that lifetime gave you, just in that way, a gift that most people have to really work to get to, because we often are so afraid of being alone in our own mind. And so you're already light years ahead there. So that's very interesting. I would say explore that aloneness and now venture into the being with.
Okay.
Well, thank you for calling. It was lovely to talk with you.
Thank you. It was lovely talking to you too. Good night.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah, and sometimes lifetimes that we've had, we can really be just like that. Like if we loved French toast, we can still love French toast in this life. In other lifetimes, it's like, no, I did it in that lifetime and I'm done with it. And so it's very interesting to see how it manifests for different people. Okay, now I'm going to pick up another call, and it's area code 704. And welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
I'm doing good, thank you. I think my question is pretty similar to the woman that you spoke to previous to this one. There's this guy in Casey that just really has kind of rattled me, and I'm kind of interested.
Okay. And so is he somebody you're currently seeing or just just met him?
Just met him. I'm not really seeing him, but I know he's crossing into my dreams a lot.
Uh-huh.
And
okay, let's see what we get there. And keep in mind, because I'm sure there are other people out there that have had similar circumstances, and sometimes that person is the, let's just say, the figurehead of a new energy that our higher self is opening up within us. And it's important not to get hung up on the doorway and what color it is, but to go through it. But then other times, it really is a connection. I mean, they're all connections, but it's a connection you're supposed to pay attention to. So let me see what I get here. Well, I'm going to go with it. I know I don't know how to apply it to your circumstance now, but let's see how it unfolds. I was immediately taken to Mississippi, and you and this person were male, both male, and grew up in the same area, and there was something about wrestling or something, like where the kids, like people would get together and people would do some kind of thing. I've never heard of this or seen this before, and it's not really wrestling, and it's not as violent as wrestling or boxing would be, where you're hitting each other or slamming each other, but there's some kind of thing, like some version of arm wrestling type of thing, and it's just a group of guys around doing that, and they're having a good time at it, and it's around the bayou because I see a lot of water. And I hope I'm saying that right, bayou or swamp or something. There's little, like, canoes that people are rowing to and houses out in there. And it's a whole way of life in there, and everybody is really pretty happy. Okay, now I'm starting to get a little bit more of a connection between you and Casey. And I see that it's two brothers now rather than just two men. And one of them has a crutch in one of his legs. Something's going on with one of his legs. And I'm not sure if it's like polio or birth, like something from birth, a congenital thing, or if there was an injury. But you looked after him quite a bit. And as time went by, you really did look after him and took care of him a lot. And I feel like he really wants to thank you for that. He comes into your dreams, number one, maybe to help you metabolize things or whatever, like his higher self. But it's more like, I think if you have interaction with him going forward in the future, it's going to be him coming and being of service to you. I feel like he came into your life carrying this idea that he has a debt to pay. Now, on his path, his higher self is showing him that there's never a debt. We're all here just experiencing with each other. But I think his sense of debt may lead him to new places and new avenues. Is he a spiritual person?
Yes.
That's probably why this is happening on this level. And I don't think he's even conscious of the fact of that. And we've all, maybe those listeners out there can also attest to, sometimes people come in our lives and they do wonderful things for us. And it's like, well, what did I do to deserve that? But thank you. And then other times people may come in and be kind of grumpy, or it's like, well, what did I do to deserve that? It's not always about this lifetime. And I feel that you have done some kind things for a number of people, and that maybe this lifetime is about you opening up and saying, well, okay, thank you. Yes, I'll receive. And it can be scarier to receive than to give, for sure. But I did draw the romance card with this as well. meaning that there, it's not always just romantic love, it can be love in general, and that there is a spiritual connection that you two have. So I think that that's pretty interesting. I would just continue the relationship in the dream time and just see where that takes you.
Okay,
well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Well, it was nice to talk with you tonight. Thanks again.
Oh, well, I appreciate your time, and bless you for helping me out.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Hey, bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Okay, and we've got a few more calls here. Let's see if I can get through these. We're about down to 14 minutes left, so let's see how many we can take. Now, this next call, it's all ones again. So you're on the air. What can I do for you?
Hi, my name is Brittany, and I'm calling because I just wanted to have like a general past life reading.
Okay. All right, Brittany, let's see what we get. Well, I was pulled immediately over to California, and I saw you as a young Native American woman. So I'm thinking this may be, I'm not going to speculate the era until I get a little more details. I was thinking maybe it was a long, long time ago. But I can see you very clearly in the skins and everything and in the tribe or whatever. I'm seeing like a medical symbol over your head. I think your mother or your father or some family members, the line you were from were medicine men, medicine women, and that you were slated to kind of follow in that footsteps. And then you had an unusual look about you, or you had a certain beauty or something, but the leader, the chief, or whatever they were called, his son, it was like you were betrothed to his son, and you were happy about that. But there was a little bit of sadness, as if you had let your family down, because you studied with your grandmother and your mother about medicinal plants, about things like that, and it was kind of a little bit bittersweet, even though you were happy and your family was happy that you did that. It was a bit of a letdown or something. And I think the reason that that was coming up and how it may apply in this life is to say that you're going to be faced with decisions in your life of moving forward and doing things that are really going to excel and accelerate you in this lifetime, but that it may disappoint other people, or it may be something that other people don't want, and maybe even be a choice in your job or your education or something like that, like you feel like you might let people down. Don't worry about that, because I think that lifetime you had, and I'm not saying your whole life was like this. You did get married, you moved on, but your soul felt like you were being called to do this other thing, but you had the duties of all the ceremonial things as being this man's wife. And it felt like your spirit didn't get satisfied. And so in this lifetime, I think you're opening up to your spirituality and everything. And if it feels like your spirituality is bothering other people or whatever, it's almost like this lifetime you're choosing to follow your spirit instead. Are there people in your life that would be uncomfortable with your spirituality or your?
You are so spot on. It's not even funny. Like, yes. I'm very spiritual, and I'm living, I see things on a higher level of consciousness, and my family, they're very dogmatic religious.
Ah.
Yeah, and so when I express things like the universe or, you know, intuition, they always seem to not, they don't understand where I'm coming from, because they view God as this person who sits on a throne.
Yeah, and he's
no.
Pretty grumpy too, right? Well, I would say that this is just, again, a validation for you to say, I did the lifetime where I followed the convention, and now I have to do the lifetime where I follow what I know my soul is calling to me. And what's so great about knowing this and how it can be beneficial is, number one, you now can back yourself entirely because you know that that's one of the things you came here to do. And number two is that you don't even have to convince anybody. You don't even have to share anything with anybody. You don't have to, like, try to get their buy-in for it. Just live it. And it's very freeing that way.
Yes. Thank you so much. That was so helpful.
Oh, well, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It was lovely to talk with you. Thanks again.
Have a good night.
Oh, you too. Thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, and I'll take another call in a moment. And I have two websites if anybody's interested in getting a hold of me or anything. It's telepathictv.com, www.telepathictv.com, and also www.maryphelan.com. And my email is telepathictv@yahoo.com. Okay, and now this is area code 780, and I'm picking up there. And what can I do for you tonight?
Hello, it's Jay calling. How's it going, Mary?
Good. How's it going with you?
I'm doing pretty good. I was listening to your show and going, like, past life reading. I'm going, like, oh, this is interesting.
Well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Now, what are you
Pardon me?
What are you interested in? A past life reading?
Past life reading because I had a teacher where I was taking classes from, and right after a meditation one day, I said in my mouth, I have to forgive her. And I said, I didn't know this teacher for a very long time, so it must be a past life thing. So about 3 or 4 days later, actually, I did forgive her face-to-face. And I said, you know, I forgive you from a past life, and I have to move on. And just left it like that.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was interesting.
Wow. No, we really do have things like that, and that was very perceptive of you. Now, you said that you two had a friction of sorts?
No, a past life. I said forgiveness.
What
I forgave her.
To think that? I mean, that's just something that came to you?
It just came to me, and usually I just took action with it. And it was really interesting. It just because I was doing meditation since January and just opened up a lot of things, and it just happened. It just came out of my mouth. What was that for? And I said, okay, it must be a past life thing. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Wow. Would you like me to look for a life between the two of you, or just a life for you that might be useful for you right now?
Just the two of us. I'm just curious because we'll probably be friends after that still, but just curious just what your insight is. Thank
okay.
you.
Well, I'll just see what I get. I mean, we could go to the life that you were picking up on, or it could just be something completely different. And do you mind saying the first name of this other person?
Amanda.
I'm going to see if I can make a connection here. Well, what's interesting is I'm seeing the beach and water, like lots of big, huge waves. I'm kind of being pulled to a couple different places, but I want to go to... this feels like a fishing type of a location. The other was more Hawaiian or West Coast or something like that. But this particular one, so in other words, I'm feeling like there's two lives, and often we have clusters of lives that have a certain pattern to them, or sometimes in a certain type of location, like all mountains, or there can be tie-ins. But this I'm feeling is on like the northeast coast, and that there is some fishing stuff going on. And this other person is mending a net, and you are fishing, and there's not a lot of conversation. It's this group of people, some women that go out and ride out in the water and have nets and bring fish back in. and there's not a lot of conversation. Now, I don't know why necessarily that keeps being shown to me, but it may have some bearing on this life. And it could be that you either really like to have conversation now, or you like to have your quiet time and like people to just be quiet for a while in your life. But it could manifest in either one of those. But you're out there on the ship, and there was something to do with something had happened out on the water, and it was kind of a really risky type of thing to go out there, because wherever you guys were going, the water was often very choppy, and sometimes people would fall overboard, and there would be no way to get them back in. And it might have even been around a time that somebody in that locale was inventing some way that was kind of a version of a life preserver or something, because it was just such an issue with people falling because everybody was kind of hanging over. At any rate, I feel like you fell off, and that there may have been some attempt by this other person to get you, or that it was the other way around. I'm not really getting a lot of detail there. How do you feel about the ocean and the beach and all that?
Well, it's actually lots of fun. Okay. Near water and beaches, so.
Well, that's kind of what I was seeing there, that there was that kind of a connection. And so it might be that, let's just say, one of you fell over and the other could not save you, that if I were to look at that life and then look at a lifetime where you two were together here, it would almost seem like it could go in the direction of it might be scary for you to it might be scary for you to get close with each other, or it may drive you to the point where you feel really connected and you want to make up for it in this lifetime.
Right.
So just something to kind of keep in the back of your mind, like maybe connect with it tonight, since not more information is coming through. Usually that means that it's just good for you to know this component of it and then maybe explore it a little more yourself.
Yeah.
It does look like you have things to do in this lifetime, in this physical reality.
Yes.
Yeah, so it. And I also feel that there is a great spiritual connection between the two of you, and that maybe there was more of a religious, spiritual kind of shared lifetime that you had ages and ages ago as well. And that there's a lot of shared experiences that you two have had that maybe you could help each other unlock.
Right.
I think there's a lot there. I would definitely pursue the exploration of that. Well, thank you. Jay, it was great to talk with you tonight. Is there anything else I can do for you?
No, that's okay. It's thanks so much for giving me some insight. Just curious, you know, what the connection was. And you know, I don't know where it's going to go, but we'll see. It'll play itself this year. So,
yeah, I would just remain open.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we will talk to you soon, and please call in again sometime.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Great topic tonight, and thanks so much, Mary.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, and down to our last little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and take the last call here, and it's 484. And you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. We're down to our last little bit. What can I do for you tonight?
Yes. My name is Antoinetta.
Okay.
And I want to know, what do you see Daniel doing here in the next couple of weeks or next month regarding me and him, and, you know, whatever else you can pick up?
Okay, and Daniel is somebody that you are seeing right now?
I was seeing. Okay. We're not seeing each other anymore.
Okay. Let's see.
But I had two distinct visions about him when I was fully awake. One was him moving here, And the other one was on Valentine's Day, where he appeared to me in person and said, I want to start seeing you again.
Well, I see real quickly here, because we're at the end of the show, but I see that there is a sword, which is, it's like saying that it is being like cut, like something is being cut, and for it to be really focused. Like, for instance, it's like either call, get in touch with Pam, and just sort it out, solve it, put it to rest. Because there are great things waiting for you. There are great things waiting for you. So it's like, don't get hung up on this. And there's somebody better. I mean, there are things that are better out there for you. Now, when I get the Ace of Swords, that can mean to just, you have to claim your power and, like, put the end to things and just, like, say, okay, either this has to be what I want, or I'm going to walk away from it. And don't let it take much space in your head. And it can also be about having a conversation, too. Like just
what I've done is I pulled back from him. I don't communicate with him since the middle of February.
Uh-huh.
I just stopped, out of cold turkey stopped. And I was told by another professional psychic that Daniel would be getting in contact with me by this Sunday. He would be contacting me on his own, and by March the 15th, or no later than the 20th, he would be living here.
Well, sometimes, you know, this is the way I see the future. If you picture yourself on a skateboard, and the past is in a bubble, like you have a bubble around you, the past is behind you, the future is ahead of you. When you look at the future in that second, that is a fixed thing. Yes, it's going to happen straight ahead. But once you make another decision, it changes the course of your skateboard, and now the future has changed as well. And so that's what I would like to leave you with there, that I think that your higher self is using this relationship to get you to explore your psychic abilities and to claim your power about the direction your life goes in. And then that's the real message from this. And you deserve better than this. I just feel you deserve better than this, and it's for you to say what is what. But if I were you, and you have to do what you feel is right, but if I were you, I would look at this and say, even if he came back, is this what I want? Because sometimes we just get caught up in a fog of thinking, oh, this is everything. And if you say yes, well, then you do what you need to do to go and let your feelings be known. And if he doesn't respond, then you move on. And if you say no, this really isn't honoring me, then you do what you need to do to just, like, let it go. Because life's too short for us not to live it to the utmost. And
right. I agree. I just didn't know if you've seen him moving in this month.
I don't see that. But I do see that this is leading you to the place of finding your power. So in that way, that's good. I don't see that, but you know, you got to go by what you feel. I can give you my perspective, but just know you deserve better than that. Neville.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. Call in again sometime and we'll explore it further.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, we went over, and I guess we're still broadcasting, so that's good. Now that I know that it doesn't have to end right at the ending time, we've done well. I am on Tuesday evenings at 10:30, but I'm going to be moving next week to 11:30 a.m. We're having Bob Place on again to talk about his deck, and then I may continue on Tuesday mornings at 11:30, so I would love it if you guys could join me then. I'll probably be talking about past lives and doing past life readings again soon. So thank you. It was lovely to have everybody join me tonight, and I look forward to talking with you again soon. Thanks.